Welcome, everyone, to this latest edition of the Space Game Junkie Podcast, probably the last in July of 2013, I think. I am your co-host, Brian, as always, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Jim.
Howdy ho.
And this week's guest, we have an awesome guest this week. He has a game currently being Kickstartered called, I believe it's called Aterium. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
All right. And we are joined by the lead developer of Aterium, Andrew Luby. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure because, you know, we love to talk about space games with people who are making them. That's one of the reasons I think Jim had this idea to do this podcast.
Yeah, but tonight we're going to talk with Andrew about Pacific Rim for an hour, a movie that he has not seen. And you're going to listen as we tell him how awesome this movie
was. We're
going
to convince him to see it. No, we won't spoil it. We'll just repeatedly dance around on eggshells, the major plot points, while we continuously tell you how great it is.
Yeah, it's like, oh, do you remember the thing with the stuff? Oh, yeah, that was great.
That thing was great.
Be like, yeah.
That thing was great when the thing happened, and the other thing blew up and went, that was great. That was awesome.
Oh, God. Okay, we got to come out of that rabbit hole, because we really will do
just
it.
Just, folks, if you haven't seen Pacific Rim, I'm just going to say this and we'll finish it. Go see it. It's great. I've seen it twice, and it's meant to be seen in IMAX. If you could see it in IMAX, do it, because it's so good. It's so good. Okay, let's...
It's honestly the adult equivalent of getting to play in the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese again for the first time.
Without worrying about diseases or germs.
Exactly. When you were blissfully ignorant about that level of scum and villainy that probably lives in the dirty diaper strata of the... Okay.
So, Andrew, we brought you here to talk about your game. Okay, focus, Brian. Focus. I can't focus. It's late. I'm tired. So your game is Aterium, and you're currently kickstarting your game. And right now, you have 5 days to go, and you have about... Oh, I just saw it go up a little bit. You have a little less than 10 grand left.
Yeah.
Are you hopeful? You think you'll be able to pull it out?
I don't know at this point. The funding has been going up quite a bit lately, but it might not be enough to make it. So we're hoping.
Now, if it doesn't make it, what is your plan? Like, maybe Minecraft it, have people pay for an alpha, that type of thing?
Yeah, we're thinking about maybe trying to sell the alpha and develop fund the development that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're currently thinking about. We haven't decided yet.
Okay. And how give us the background of the game. How long has it been in development? What was the impetus and the inspiration for developing it? Give us the origins, as it were, origin of the game.
Well, first of all, I'll start by saying, obviously, I am a huge Wing Commander fan. I really enjoyed the early games in Wing Commander 1, and I liked 3 and 4 as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel there's not really been any games like that. The genre's kind of evolved, and there's lots of trading sims out there and stuff that contains spaceship combat in it, but nothing that I feel really concentrates on the pilots themselves.
Mm.
And, you know, just getting out there and flying your fighter. And I think you mentioned in one of your previous episodes that you thought it was kind of silly that military people have to buy their own ships or buy upgrades and like that. And I agree, so I don't want you to, you know, earning points and upgrading your ship. I kind of just want the feel that you are serving on a space carrier.
No, that makes total sense. Yeah, it does seem a bit silly. I mean, like, games like Free Space and stuff let you, like, and TIE Fighter, they let you select, like, your missiles and your guns, which kind of makes sense. But, like, you don't get to choose which ship you get to fly for which mission and whatnot. You know, you're told, soldier, here's your damn ship. This is what you're going to fly. So, yeah, I totally see where you're coming from.
So I started developing Aterium about 5 years ago, but I was doing it in my spare time. And I work full-time as a gameplay programmer. So, you know, those are long hours. So I don't have much time in the evenings to work on the game. So it's been a really long process in making the game. And recently, our artist, Dave, he joined on the team about 2 years ago. We were both working at the same company. Cool. And he brought the art up to a really great level. And, you know, the game really started taking off. And we wanted to make sure that we could get it to, you know, a demo available so we could actually show people the game before we tried to kickstart it. So now that we're kickstarting it, I'm actually concentrating my effort full time on the game to try and finish this thing off, you know, show a lot of progress really quickly. So the game has come a long way in the last couple of months.
Right. No, I didn't play the latest version of the demo. I think I played the previous version. And I had a really good time. I mean, it was a little buggy, but it's still early, you know, so that's to be expected. But, yeah, I had a really good time with the demo. Really, it really brought that old Wing Commander feeling of, you know, go to waypoint A. Oh, nothing's there. All right. Go to waypoint B. Oh, something's there. That's fine. Let's shoot it. You know, nice, simple, straightforward gameplay. I did like that.
We are planning some missions that are later on that, you know, you'll be told go to waypoint A, B, and C like that. But in the middle of the mission will just change on you completely.
Maybe
an escort mission will become like a strike mission or something, or a patrol mission, so then it becomes a defend mission. So we're planning on having some change up later on. But the key focus is, yeah, I want to stick to the basic Wing Commander core, which I feel works really well. And that's just basically flying patrols, doing escort missions, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it still works. I mean, I got, you know, the Wing Commander games through GOG, GOG a little while back, and I played a bit of the first one. And yeah, I mean, yeah, the graphics are wow, but the gameplay still holds up. It's still a good time, I think.
Yeah, so I have a question. Speaking about the missions and that structure, are you going to be releasing a public-facing mission editor so that people can create their own campaigns for the game? The correct answer is yes.
There's always a correct answer, and then there's the answer you're going to get. Unfortunately, due to the way we developed the game, we built our own engine because we'd originally planned on releasing on Xbox Live Indie, so we were forced into using XNA. And okay. The whole nightmare of developing the game through this, it would just take way too long for us to develop a mission editor and get the game out in a reasonable amount of time.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what are the missions, what format are they in? Is it like a flat text file that defines everything, or...?
The missions are, there's two kinds of missions. One's procedurally generated, and one is scripted. They actually are not put in any text files, anything like that. They are scripted in C#. But the procedural mission generator basically takes in a series of parameters that you set up and will create a mission that matches those parameters. And it creates pretty good missions. But sometimes when you want something really exciting, I'll go in and actually script the mission myself or tweak the mission the procedural mission generator makes.
Oh, okay. So whenever you have a mission like that, the AI of the ships that's in the mission, like let's say this one particular mission you put a transport ship in, do you have like an in mission definition instance of the AI routine for that guy, or does that call out to you have a generic, this is how transports act AI, and it knows, hey, I'm a transport, therefore I'll do that and follow these waypoints?
Yeah, there's a transport AI, and transports will go on the course they're set to the destination they're supposed to go to and then jump out.
Mm. Now, I wanted to ask about, because I don't know if you know this, but procedural generation gets me hot and bothered. What can you tell me, like, how do the campaigns work out? Is it like maybe a scripted mission and a few procedurally generated missions? And what are the purpose of the procedurally generated missions? To give you more credits, to give you more rank, prestige? How does all that work?
Procedural generated missions are really, you're going to have a set number of them. So yeah, you will get scripted missions and you'll get some procedural missions. You probably won't even be able to tell the difference between them. Because, you know, we still do all the story and everything like that is still written out for these missions.
Oh, okay, good.
But it is to switch things up. So, you know, when you fail a mission or when you play the game again, you'll get a slightly different mission.
Cool.
You're still going to get a patrol mission, but your waypoints will be different. There might be a different number, and you might encounter different types of ships. But it all balances out because you might encounter more easy guys versus fewer hard guys. Or, you know, you could even come across a capital ship in the later missions that might not be there the next time you play through.
Very nice. So that adds a lot of replayability to the campaign.
Yeah.
Nice. And so, like, those are the variables that the procedurally generated mission thing might use. Like, it might, the mission type might stay the same, but the waypoints might change, and the map might change, and the enemies might change, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, the most important, the map doesn't really change because you jump from system to system, so the background's always be the same.
Okay.
But yeah, the nav points change. That's the easy part. The trickiest part is placing enemy ships, and it will do a system to try and balance out and place, you know, at each nav point or even in between the nav points, enemy ships to keep the level of the difficulty that I specify when I created it. So I say, like, create me a medium difficulty level, and it'll take the ships that count for medium difficulty, and it'll space them out and choose the appropriate numbers.
Oh, okay. Now, will this procedurally generated mission generator thingy-ma-jigger, will that be available outside the campaign? Like, will you be able to load up, a quick single mission with the generator, that sort of thing?
We've been thinking about adding that as a feature, kind of like a simulator. You know, Wing Commander had that.
In
this case, you would get, make me a mission, and you just set all the parameters you want. Like, I want a really hard mission. I want a lot of asteroid fields. Let's put some minefields in there, and it'll just create it for you. So we're thinking about doing something like that.
So does it generate the mission and then the pilot goes into the briefing, or does it kind of generate the mission after the briefing? So, like, if I go out and I fight and I lose, and then it puts me back at the ship, and then I have to continue from, you know, my previous checkpoint, will it regen the mission, or does it stay exactly the same until I beat it?
You will get a new mission.
Okay.
So, because the briefing does show you, you know, where all the nav points are. So if the nav points are different locations, the briefing wouldn't match up anymore. If you had, like, 5 nav points instead of 3. So it does it during the load time, and when you do die or retry the mission, you will get a different mission. And there's some good things you can say about that and some bad things. A lot of people, you know, they want to keep playing until they win, and if you get a different mission each time, you're kind of thinking, well, this might be an easier mission.
Mm. But I can see where that's good in some spots, because you might serve up something I can't deal with, so... Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So, see, I like all this idea of the procedurally generated stuff. I think that'll add a lot of flavor.
Do you have an option in there for kind of like a rearm and refuel in the midst of a mission, almost like how jets go out and meet a tanker?
No, we don't have anything like that. I think Free Space used to do that, but I don't remember Wing Commander doing something like that, and that's kind of what we were modeling it after. We were thinking some missions later on might have a scripted sequence where you get rearmed.
Okay.
But there's like no way to actually call out a rearm or anything like that. So you got to really, you got to watch your fuel and you got to watch your missile usage.
Yeah, I think didn't both Free Space and TIE Fighter? I think they both had. I know Free Space did. I don't remember if TIE Fighter did though. But I think TIE Fighter might have had some kind of rearm option.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I think it did.
Well, Shift B was the key.
Really?
It's burned into my brain.
Oh my
God,
I rarely used it. I should have used it more, but it wasn't always an option.
Well, I want to develop the feeling of you being alone out there. So if you're going out on a patrol away from your carrier, there's not really anyone to help you. So you can't just suddenly say, "Oh, I need to refuel. Let's go home and pick up some more missiles or something." You gotta complete your patrol.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's just the ships that I've been flying in the demo. You know, I'm on mission 4 right now, and I'm a little actually kind of stuck with it. So it's just I get to that cap ship, I guess, at the end, and I get clobbered every time. One thing that I'm kind of finding interesting about the cap ships in the game, though, is it gives me that feel of how the Star Destroyers used to shoot at you in TIE Fighter, where it was just really pretty. You know, you've got this nicely modeled cap ship, and instead of like in Wing Commander where they would have kind of like balls of stuff flying at you or whatever. Here it just looks like really nice laser bolts coming. So graphically, I'll just say in general, graphically the game is really, really great. So I love the ships, and they're all clear and distinct as what they are. And the cap ships are really gorgeous. The texture works really good on them. So yeah, I'm liking that a lot.
Thanks.
So the missiles themselves, it seems like I'm getting like on the first ship I've got 2 missiles that are seekers, and then on the second ship that I've got 4. Does the AI do they use decoys?
The AI,
because I haven't really seen them kicking any out.
If you look closely, you'll see the decoys are this big glowing ball, and you actually see the missiles go after and start chasing around the decoy. Kind of got to look close.
Okay.
They do use them on the easier skill levels. They might not use them at all. So
okay, maybe that's the deal. Is I'm playing on an easier level.
Yeah, they use it a lot less. And also, the medium fighter actually has 4 tracking missiles. The second set is very similar to the FF missiles from Wing Commander, where you don't require lock, and those missiles cannot be affected by the decoys.
Ooh.
Okay. Cool.
But yeah, that last mission, the demo, is intentionally made harder than it should be, because I want to give people playing the demo, you know, a taste of a really hard mission. And I think, but I'm not sure, I think I made it a little bit easier in the newest version of the demo, because I also redid the third mission as well, because that was a procedural mission that just was really easy. And I actually changed that into a scripted mission. So, you know, you can attack a freighter in that mission. So it makes things a lot more exciting.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I'm going to have to go back in and, like, crank the difficulty up, because it's, I wasn't sure if... Actually, the better way to address that is explain to me how do you address the difficulty settings in AI behavior and do weapons do more damage too, or what?
Our weapons will always do the same amount of damage, and same with the enemy's weapons. I don't like the idea of enhancing the strength of your own weapons or the strength of your shields, something like that, just because you want to make the game harder. So when you actually make the game harder, the AI is actually harder. And the hardest difficulty makes the AI pretty much as hard as I can make it. It has perfect shots, shoots perfectly, but we don't even open that difficulty option up. because it would just be so hard. So we get really close to it with our hardest difficulty right there. And you play that, you're going to be pretty challenged. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The AI will, intentionally miss. The AI will not shoot when it has a good shot. Sometimes just let you last a bit longer. And then on top of all these difficulties, there's also difficulty adjustment that occurs during mission and between missions. So as you are playing, the game will adapt the difficulty to match your skill, both as you take more damage and as you progress through the mission. So if you're killing lots of enemies like that, the game's going to get harder. But if an enemy gets a lucky shot on you and you're about to die, the game is going to immediately get easier until you recover a little bit more, because I don't want to just, blow you up. I like that feeling that you get in Wing Commander when your ship's been just completely shot up and you're barely making it back. So I try to make it so the AI will not just blow you out of the sky and, kind of draw back a little bit while you recover.
Oh, okay. So the next thing that I wanted to know about, and that kind of leads from that, is how the AI pilots actually are thinking in there. As far as, do they have like a maneuver list that they choose from, or are they dynamically looking, at what do they look at me and decide to do?
They decide, basically the AI is deciding what to do, very similar to how I would if I was playing the game, is based on their current level of damage, which shield grids are working, how far away they are from you, whether you're in their sights or not, is whether they're going to come towards you, try and shoot you, or they're going to pull away from you. And, they're basically going to keep trying to runs at you to get behind you and trail on you while you're, of course, trying to get behind them. So, sorry, where was I? The AI, we've been working on this AI system for a long time, so it started off very, very simple, but it's gotten so complex. There's so many different rules and stuff like that right now, and it's all based on how much damage they've taken, the shielding status, where you are, and that kind of thing.
Okay. So did you play Independence War?
No.
Okay. So there's, I'll show you a video thing from Independence War, just a thing that they did. And I know you're going for the Wing Commander thing, so you may want to just ignore this entirely because Wing Commander didn't do it. But in Independence War, they had trails behind the ships that was part of the HUD, and it would show the maneuvers that the ships were doing, and it was done as a ribbon, right? So you could tell whenever they twisted, and so you would see all the roll and that in their maneuvers. So they would be like so long, and then they would expire, right, and fade out. But you could actually like watch a dogfight between a wingman and a couple enemies and see how that fight was going. Instead of just like seeing some ships that were just against the black backdrop of space, you kind of had a history of where they had been, and it was just super cool looking.
Yeah, so, I've seen games like that. I think Project Silphie did that as well.
Yeah, actually on the Xbox.
Yeah, that was an Xbox game.
They did do that a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I never played
it. It was more like that was almost like a mist that came from the engines on theirs. No, though.
It was same. Their engine thrust was ribbon, so you guys see how they went.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was like that. This was actually just like a HUD thing that was projected. Like the computer is assisting you to visualize the environment kind of deal. So anyway, but that's a super cool thing. I don't know if you're interested in it, but I would love it.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
It would make visualizing where your enemy has been
and
where they're going
a
little easier.
It's a thing, too, of like you guys have put so much effort into the AI. I would actually like to be able to watch how cool that is when they're doing things rather than because a lot of these fights and it happened a lot in Wing Commander. So I'll say you've replicated that pretty well. But it's kind of like Wing Commander was a game where the enemies would fly directly away from you and then they would kind of maneuver and come at you, right? So it was kind of like some jousting passes until somebody got behind somebody and managed to stick there, right? And then TIE Fighter was kind of a World War II rolling dogfight kind of thing. And I'm finding that your game, depending on how the AI pilot that I'm fighting against is flying, and taking into consideration that I'm playing it at a lower skill level too, so that may change wildly. But it's kind of like I'm getting a mix of that where I'll get on somebody's tail and I'm hanging on to it pretty well. And then there's other times that the AI will just kind of joust with me. So I don't know if that's just a different personality of AI or what dynamically is happening there.
Well, it really plays off on how you're playing. The AI basically is running the same algorithm, but it's based on what you are currently doing. So it can change. If you start to run towards an enemy, he's going to kind of run towards you too because he's going to think he has the advantage to try and shoot you. But you really want to avoid late, especially later in the game, you really want to avoid running straight into enemies' fires because they start getting a lot of guns on the front of their ship, and it'll just chew you to pieces.
Yeah, which I was experiencing in the fourth mission quite a bit.
Yeah, strafing runs there really help. You want to kind of outflank them a bit and then get a lot of speed and then turn and slide and shoot while you're sliding around them.
Okay, see, I was playing with the Xbox controller, so I haven't found the slide button yet.
Oh, there is a slide button. Just get up some speed and turn. It takes a while
for your
navigational computer to compensate by firing the other thrusters, so you will slide a good distance before it compensates for it.
Oh, okay.
And I think the Xbox controller, too. The game's actually tweaked to work really well with the Xbox controller.
Mm, yeah, I was finding that to be pretty decent. It's, but one thing that I noticed about the controls, though, is in order to tweak the controls, do you have to go out to the launcher to do that? Because there was no internal menu that would let me do it.
Yeah, you have to go out to the launcher, quit the game, go out to the launcher. We did that because it's a lot of development effort to add all those menus into the game and get all stuff up there, but doing the launcher is just really quick and really easy for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because it was just a thing like, oh, I want to invert the joystick axis or switch the scheme to mouse control and, you know, and see what that's like. And it was just the thing of, like, you know, bouncing in and out. But then again, it's like I'm kind of, like, testing the thing today, you know. Yeah. So I'm doing a lot more intense of that than a user would probably. Or, well, once you get your controls set, you're good.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people who want to invert, like they forget to invert the mouse or invert the joystick axis like that. So that's something that we might wind up adding in there later, because that's really easy. It's just assigning all those buttons and everything. That's
oh yeah. Well,
I'll have to try it next time with a Xbox controller if that's a really good way to do it.
Yeah, the Xbox controller actually uses a different code path than the joystick does, because with those little thumbsticks, you don't want to use the same input code the joystick uses, because you have this big joystick and you have these little thumbsticks. You do a lot more filtering on them, and you know a lot more sensitivity on small pushes, but you know as you get further out, your ship will move more. So it gives you a lot more accuracy.
Oh, the gamepad does?
Well, the game is the same accuracy. It's just it's a lot more different accuracy than if you use the gamepad with the joystick code. So I'm saying, you know, we got two different codes, one specifically for the Xbox controller.
Huh. Well, I guess it makes sense. It's not you meant to make it for the Xbox originally, it sounds like.
Yeah. And it'd be almost impossible to fly if you tried to just put the joystick directly to the Xbox controller, because that thumbstick's so small, it'd be hard to control.
Huh. Yeah, I have personal experience with that in TIE Fighter, and I'm a witness. It's terrible.
So what kind of
not undoable, no. But terrible.
So what kind of missions can we fly in this game? I mean, I'm sure there'll be the standard patrol escort, but can we also do like spying missions? And can we do like what kind of like what are some of the things we'll be doing in this game?
So it's the standard patrol, escort, strike, and defense. And then we're also going to have a couple of custom type missions that are a little bit more story driven. I haven't even thought about doing any kind of spy missions or anything like that. But we've only written, you know, a certain number of missions so far, so we haven't even decided on what the later missions are going to be like.
Okay.
I thought it was a pretty interesting move where you use the Pengothi as space penguins, as the aliens that you fight. Oh, wait, no, you didn't do that at all.
What?
Yeah, it's the Pengothi. They're space penguins. It's a thinly veiled Kilrathi.
Oh, reference. Dear.
It's like, please, Chris Roberts, don't sue us. It's a penguin, not a cat. So,
are they really?
And then you could release the Linux version. No, you can't because it's XNA. Oh, well.
What, XNA won't convert to Linux?
There is options. There's something like Monogame, which works very similar to XNA. A lot of people have been able to port their XNA stuff to Monogame, but that's going to take a lot of development time. So it's something that we're not thinking about pursuing unless the game really sells well and there's a lot of demand for Linux and Mac versions.
Ah, I see.
Well, those Linux guys are hard up for anything. So,
yeah.
But seriously, though, who are the enemies in here? Because I noticed the demo missions, I'm kind of fighting space pirates, and I'm wondering if there's any like aggressor civilization.
Actually,
much like a Wing Commander analogy.
Fighting the aggressors. We're still working a bit on the dialogue to make that clear, but what the enemy is it's a alien race they're called the Revi, and they're always in their flight suits, so we aren't really going to reveal what they look like, and we don't want to.
Ooh.
But the story behind them is they're basically coming after us unprovoked. We're not really sure why, but throughout the game, you're going to reveal a bit more about why they're coming after us. But the main thing is that they used to be a peaceful race, and we don't really know why they've suddenly become really aggressive towards us. It's almost upon meeting, when the humans and the Revi met, they just suddenly turned aggressive, and part of is just trying to figure out why they turned aggressive like that.
Oh,
spoil the story very much.
So that's the story. They're just attacking us, and we don't know why. But throughout the story, we figure out why they're attacking us.
Yeah, basically, they've attacked before, and there was a whole war between them, and they just mysteriously stopped attacking for a while. And you know, we got a little bit closer to the borders. We kind of saw that some really weird stuff was going on. They started fighting amongst themselves, and now they suddenly started attacking us again. But they're starting by attacking the Free Republic. So what happened is during the first attack against us, they destroyed a bunch of these colonists in the Outer Worlds who were supposed to be being protected by the Alliance.
Right.
And because the Alliance had to pull their fleet away to protect a different planet that had a higher population, a major border world or outer colony world got destroyed, and the people rose up and created the Free Republic and kind of broke off from the Alliance. And there's this really uneasy tension there. And the leader of the Free Republic, he's like the most wanted man in the galaxy. But he's constantly around the Alliance people, and they're not arresting him. So there's some conspiracy going on there.
Oh, now I gotta say when I was playing the game, the writing was pretty good. It was pretty funny, and I was actually enjoying little quips between your character and the other characters, kind of like classic Wing Commander. Are you doing the writing? Is someone else doing the writing? How is that happening?
I'm doing the writing. Kind of juggling writing and programming, so it is a rough draft that's out there, but I'm going through and I'm polishing stuff up. And we were thinking about working with a writer to maybe go through the stuff I've done and polish up even further. Just depends on how things go.
Right. Okay, that's cool. Because, yeah, I either laughed out loud or chuckled at least once or twice. So it was good stuff. And I do like how you're keeping it all in text, kind of like the classic, the first Wing Commander game at least. Because I can't imagine how much work it would take to record all that dialogue.
Yeah, we one of our stretch goals on the Kickstarter, which since we haven't reached our main goal yet, is not looking very likely, was to do full voiceovers.
Right.
But you're right, trying to voice over all that in-game text, or all the, cutscene text, would be a lot of work. We are still thinking about the possibility of voicing over the in-flight parts of the game, when the break and attack, insult set. And then if we do that, we could also add some story elements in-flight during missions. Because right now we don't really have any of that, because you're playing the mission, you want to be reading a bunch of story elements, or the mission suddenly changes on you, or something happens, you might miss a major point and suddenly not know what you're doing. But if we could voice that, then it'd make missions a lot more dynamic.
Yeah, it would also make them a lot more immersive.
Yeah.
So if I could introduce you to Ellen McLean, can we get GLaDOS as the shipboard computer?
Is that another Pacific Rim reference?
Yeah, that's actually, yes, it was.
Oh, my God.
But no joke, I know her PR guy. So
well, we don't actually have a talking shipboard computer. That's
a problem. So... That's a very real problem that we need to address right now. So now, I was thinking though that it would be kind of tough, you know, depending on how many wingmen that you fly with and that, you know, to have distinct voices for all of them. But as far as in the cockpit, whenever you get a text from another pilot or something, maybe I don't have my volume set right or what, but I'm not really hearing like an indicator chime that draws my attention, like, hey, a message just came in. Kind of thing. So I feel like I'm having to diligently watch the middle of the screen to see when that's, and I know you guys are like super alpha right now, right?
Yeah, well, but we're working the sound design still, and that's a good point. That's probably something we should add, is just something have a message received type chime or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because like, even if you can't do the actual acknowledgments whenever you give wingman orders or something like that, if the shipboard, you know, if you had like a bitchin' Betty in the cockpit that could call out things, you know, like laser got destroyed or, you know, whatever your shield percentages are or something like that. Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Also, whenever you ask a wingman for status, I notice the wingmen are kind of like, well, I got nothing to say, you know, and it's like I look at the guy and I see he's like trailing fire. So I'm thinking there's a conversation to be had there.
Yeah, that's probably a bug. Yeah, that or he's overconfident. Yeah.
But one thing that goes back to like Jane's F-15 that was really awesome with the wingman interaction in that was whenever you would ask wingman for status, and let's say you're in a flight package of four, right? You would say, you know, what's the status of the wingman, And like Wingman 1 would come back and he would say, I'm at this percent of fuel. This I've got, you know, this many heat seekers, this many radar missiles, and this many bombs. Yeah. Right. And that was like an interesting status to get. And especially here, like with missile counts and stuff, because if I want to order him to attack or something, I don't know if that's probably not within the scope of the orders that I can give, though, is like conserve your missiles or not. Right. Because it's like if we're going up against a cap ship, I don't want my wingman to like whiff all his missiles at the first enemy that he sees.
Yeah. Cap ship missiles, the wingman will not fire at enemies like dumbfire missiles and torpedoes. The wingman are not going to fire those at just fighters. No, torpedoes, I don't think we'll get a lock on them. It takes so long to get a lock with those.
Yeah. How does a wingman decide if he wants to engage with a missile or if he's going to go for a gunshot?
It depends on what the status of the enemy is, whether the missile shot will kill, and there's a random roll in there as well.
Oh, okay. So it's like if he's got weak shields and the guy can kind of cheaply off him with one missile, it's worth it.
Yeah.
So when you decide you were going to make a Wing Commander-esque type game, did you play through the game, the original Wing Commander again? Did you revisit it?
Not at that time. I did revisit a bit of it shortly after starting to develop it, but it's hard to play nowadays with those graphics.
Yeah, no, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
Well, there was a conversation that Brian and I were having before we got going tonight about kind of the hurdle that you face in that your game won't be compared against Wing Commander, but it will be compared against the memories of what we think Wing Commander was like, which is wildly different than what the actual Wing Commander was like, because I've recently gone back and played it, and it was not what I remembered. So, didn't age all that well, like what you were saying.
I think the gameplay still holds up, but yeah, graphically it's pretty clunky, and I can forgive a lot with graphics, but yeah, it was a little rough. But
well, I've been trying to make Ethereum basically play the way that I nostalgically remember Wing Commander as, and a lot of people who tried it say, you know, immediately this reminds me of playing Wing Commander. I feel like I'm playing Wing Commander.
Yeah, exactly. It really does. Yeah. It really does.
Well, but that's the thing. The target is what I remember Wing Commander being, not the reality of what Wing Commander was. So if you're going for that target as well, then you're on the right path.
Yeah, totally.
Because if you made a one-to-one reproduction with just better graphics, people would be like, this is nothing like how good Wing Commander was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be honest.
And it's the same thing. So, yeah.
I'll be honest. When I played the demo for the first time, like, I'm 17 again, you know, playing that for the first time. You know, it really did capture that feeling, you know. So you did a good job.
Thanks.
So have you played all the Wing Commander games? Or did you play, like, some of them? Which ones have you played?
I've played all the Wing Commander games that weren't the spinoffs. I didn't play Privateer.
What?
I'm into those economy-type sim games.
Oh, Privateer is so good, though. But I get it. If you're not into the open economy worldy stuff.
I never got into it. I played the open economy sim games a little bit, but I never really could get into any of the ones I played.
Privateer is among the best of them.
Sounds like you got a bad dose of X3.
Yeah, I tried to get into that too.
Oh no. Or even Elite 3 or if First Frontiers or whatever the hell it was called. That was also very, very rough. Now, did you play like Armada or Academy or any of those spin-offs?
No.
Well, I would say if you can, go back and at least revisit Academy. Not Academy, Armada. Because it adds a light strategy element to it that isn't awesome, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I've read all about them, though, because the ones that I missed, and I'm like, oh, man, I missed those back in the day, but going back and playing them is really hard. So, I sat down and I read about them just so I'd know.
Oh, okay, that's good.
God, you're telling him to go back and play Academy. I'm like, why is Brian
not Academy?
This
no,
guy?
I'm out of it tonight. I must be, because why the hell would I tell anyone to play Academy?
Why would? Yeah, exactly. It's like even people we don't like, we don't tell them to play Academy.
You know what Academy is, right? It's
a Wing Commander 3 engine-based game, isn't it?
It was like a precursor. I think it was, wasn't it like a precursor to Wing Commander 3? It like used the engine.
Yeah, I think it came out before that. Used the engine.
It used the engine, and it was like the first time you could play a Kilrathi ship, if I remember. And all it was the arcade sim from the first two games.
But it had a multiplayer component,
which
to
no
it.
One used because no one was
exactly.
No one was on, like, everyone was on dial up back then.
Yeah, you weren't on Duango, Brian. Do you remember Dwango?
Yes, I remember Dwango.
Or 10?
I remember
the Total Entertainment Network.
Oh, I remember 10. Yes, I remember 10. And what was the other one? There was Gemini, Game Genie, Gemini, something like that. Began with a G.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, you couldn't play that shit back then. Like, I remember trying to play X-Wing versus TIE Fighter back then, and it didn't work.
Yeah. Then there was some service that was related to 10, and then they picked up all the games that were on AOL's game portal whenever AOL said, hey, we're not doing games anymore. And yeah, because that's where multiplayer Battletech went.
Yeah.
Hey, we're down another rabbit hole. Is there a guest here still? What's happening?
I didn't warn you, Andrew, that we just go off on tangents. There's really no format.
We're both ADD and unmedicated. So
squirrel.
Here. Oh my!
But you played at least the first. You played 1 through 5 at least, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Okay, I'm going to ask the loaded question. Which one of the five is your favorite?
that's a tough question.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I think I'd have to go with 3. I should say 2.
Oh.
But I'm going to go with 3 because I just really like the cinematics. And when I played that game, I was just really wowed with it.
Well, wait. Why should you say 2?
Because everyone says 2.
I don't say 4 is my favorite, to be perfectly honest. I loved all 5 of them, but 4 is my favorite.
I like 3 better than 4, but 4 definitely had the better cinematics, so it was a lot more watchable.
Well, 4 had the best fighter, if you ask me.
Yeah, it did, but I want to fight the Killer Athi. I want to fight the Border Worlds.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird switch, fighting other humans.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge... It was an interesting wrinkle, but I'm glad they only stuck with it for that one game. You know? Then we fought those aliens in Prophecy that we never got a chance to figure out what the hell that was about.
Yeah, well, I thought the game mechanics in Prophecy changed an awful lot from the regular Wing Commander, which kind of bothered me a bit.
I think they were trying... I think it felt to me like they were trying to chase free space at that point.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And
also,
it didn't work.
Did you notice they changed the whole flight model? Because the old school Wing Commander, it was... unfortunately, it was kind of like flying a desk, right? Because... in TIE Fighter, when you turn, and free space as well, it also induces a little bit of roll, right? So you don't just turn, not like a flat pivot, right? So there's actually, it induces some roll in there so that ships are not all on the same plane, and up does not always mean up for the other guy. So that's kind of interesting that it mixed it up that way. And they changed the flight model over to that in Prophecy, which was one of the things that I really liked about that. But the thing about fighting these aliens, who I really couldn't give a damn about, was like, show me the cats.
Also, in Prophecy, you had to use your afterburner an awful lot more. I mean, you almost had to always use the afterburner to catch up to the enemies, if I remember correctly.
Well, that seemed to be the tactic with their AI was to do a head-on pass and then an afterburner like hell.
Yeah,
and,
I don't remember
you know,
that
repeat.
From the earlier Wing Commander games.
No. I mean, you use afterburners to vary your speed to avoid enemy fire, but you wouldn't, like, have to, you know, hold them down, you know?
Yeah, in Ethereum, the tricks use your afterburners to stay on the enemy's tail. Once you're there, you can use the afterburner to close the distance a bit and then just use it every once in a while, and you can really stay on them really good.
So in your missions, are you going to have cap ships fighting each other? Because I think that would be pretty awesome.
There's an awesome mission that is later on in the game, and there's some shots from this in our trailer where you will launch off the carrier and you will be in the middle of a massive cap ship battle.
Yay!
Laser shooting everywhere, and you have to dodge between them. And also there's tons of enemies shooting them and attacking your own cap ships, and you've got to it's a mess, and it's fun.
Oh, cool.
Now,
there's going to be cap ship versus cap ship battle, and, you know, you kind of want to clear out the fighters first before you even help out with that, because they can hold their own pretty well.
Nice. Yeah, because cap ship battles are great when done right. They really, really are.
So I have 2 words that will give you almost unlimited free press. Oculus Rift. If you can, because you have these really nice cockpits, right? And are they fully 3D, or is it just what's in front of you as a 2D thing?
So the cockpits are 3D modeled, but the full cockpit was not modeled because we had not intended to do Oculus Rift. But we actually are working on Oculus Rift support. We don't have head tracking yet, but we do have it working in there so you can see in 3D. We would ideally like to add head tracking, you know, model out the rest of the cockpit so you can completely look around. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, because
yeah, because
you could do that in the Wing, in all the Wing Commander games. You can look left and right, and you'd see all those little panels and such.
Could you do that in Wing Commander 3?
I
think the left and right view took the cockpit away.
Yeah, I think so.
Did it?
I don't remember. In the older ones.
In one and two, you would look left to the right, and you'd see like the panels, and you'd see your seat.
Yeah, well, those were obviously 2D as well, but yeah, it was just a different overlay image depending on which direction you were looking.
Yeah, exactly. But I miss that. I like that. That's the one thing I miss about games without cockpits, is you can't look around like that.
Yeah, well, there is an option in Ethereum to play without the cockpit as well, and that can be actually toggled while you're playing.
Oh, nice.
So there's some people who say, well, we don't want cockpits. I'm like, well, just disable it.
Yeah.
I personally like the cockpits.
Is there any kind of shield management that's going on here where, like, you can say, I want to divert power to the weapons, to the shields, you know, rebalance the shields and that, or do you just got what you got?
Well, that has been requested, and I've had mixed feelings about that because I think it might change the difficulty of the game. But it's something that's not that difficult for us to implement, so I'm leaning towards adding that so you can divert power from your aft shield to your front. But originally, as designed, I want you to have to turn your ship. If your aft shields go down, I want you to have to turn around and expose a different shield quadrant, not just, you know, transfer power.
Right.
But since it's been requested quite a few times, it's something that we're looking into doing.
Mm.
Okay. I think the AI, whenever they shoot and hit me, well, when they shoot at me, they tend to hit, right, at the level that I'm at. But do you get into situations where if you're maneuvering a little bit, you'll actually see their laser shots going past you from behind? Because to me, it was just like whenever they shoot me, they're knocking my shields off. So I'm not seeing like the couple of warning shots like fly by like, oh, no, somebody's shooting at me.
That happens to me all the time. I'm always getting laser shooting around because I'm maneuvering like crazy when I'm playing. So I've been playing lately on a lot higher difficulty level to do testing. I think one of the recent videos that I put on Kickstarter has me playing on Nightmare difficulty, and you'll see it, the lasers be shooting past my cockpit a lot while I'm dodging them.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, again, that's got to be probably like an effect of the difficulty level setting that I was at. So.
Well, the enemy's not trying to miss you. He's trying to hit you, but if you pull out of the way or if his shot is just not that good, because as I said, if you go really fast, you can start drifting before the navigation thrusters will compensate for you, and while you're drifting, the AI's aim might be a little bit off, and those weapons just going to miss. Because your ship is changing velocity as you slow down, so he can't quite calculate where you were going to be, and he's a little off in his shot. And it'll happen in that case.
Nice. I gotta play the demo again. especially now that I have a gamepad.
Yeah, play the latest demo. I reworked that third mission, and I think I reworked the second mission too, just slightly.
Yeah, I think in the last time I played the demo, I only got to the second mission.
You gotta get to the medium fighter. That's the ship you play most of the time in the game. The light fighter is just kind of a little bit of an introduction, and it'll come back later on in the game. But okay. The medium fighter is basically the workhorse.
How many different types of ships can you fly in this thing?
Currently, we have four if you count a pallet swap. So I'm just going to say three. We're looking to add a fourth real fighter. That's one of the goals in our Kickstarter, is adding something similar to the Rapier and Wing Commander. It's kind of a balance between the medium fighter and the heavy fighter.
Ooh.
Almost a super ship, but not overly done.
Right. I like the Rapier. That was a good ship.
Adding that would require art for the ship and, of course, art for the cockpit and everything.
What about bombers?
Our heavy fighter is the heavy fighter / bomber. It carries torpedoes, lots of armor, bad maneuverability, but it's a lot more like the Raptor, just heavily armed.
Okay, because I'll tell you, my favorite ship in Wing Commander 2 is the Broadsword. Remember that thing?
Yeah, this is similar to the Broadsword, but it's a lot more of a fighter role, so I have to go close to the Raptor.
That's fair.
But yeah, it carries enough torpedoes to take out basically anything that you're going to encounter in the game, except that beefy, huge dreadnought you see in the intro.
What was I going to ask? I'm very out of it today. You'll have to forgive me. I guess my question, I don't remember, because I played the demo a while ago. One of my big pet peeves in more recent space games is the lack of situational awareness. Now, Wing Commander was simple enough where, you know, you had behind you and in front of you in the radar, and you only had to target, like, other fighters. Now, will there be, like, targeting commands to target torpedoes and, like, closest enemy and most important enemy and all that stuff? Like, tell me about, like, the targeting commands and the situational awareness in the game.
So the game was originally developed for Xbox, so everything has to fit on that controller.
Mm.
So keeping that in mind, though, we have started adding new features for the keyboard and stuff, and I've found ways to put them on the controller by adding double taps and other things. So you can target, you know, enemy attacking my wingman,
Nice.
Enemy attacking the ship I'm escorting. It's very important.
Oh, thank God. And thank you so much. Seriously.
So annoying.
Thank you so. That seems like the most obvious command that any space game should freaking have.
Also, any enemy that is attacking a ship you are protecting will be show up purple on the radar and have purple target brackets around it instead of red. So you immediately can look out there and realize those two guys are attacking. I got to intercept them first.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Seriously. I've like there was a game like did you play Soul Exodus?
Don't recall it.
Yeah, it came out a year or so ago. And it's this fast-paced space fighting game, but it has like one target command. So you have to cycle through freaking everything. And like there are multiple missions where you have to target torpedoes coming in to your frigate or whatever. It's like, ah, God, click, 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 click. I hate my life.
That's why nobody remembers that game.
It's sad. It was fun, but there were frustrating bits.
We have played around with the mechanic of targeting torpedoes coming towards your cap ship. They have massive explosion radius. You know, you got to keep back and get too close. You get a good jolt on your ship and, take damage.
Nice. I like that. I like that a lot.
We're leaving that in there, but we're not making it. It's not really going to be a major part of the game because I found that it's really frustrating when you're in a huge battle and those torpedoes travel fast and suddenly you're like, oh, I got to take out that torpedo. I always hated in Wing Commander 3 taking out those skipper missiles.
Yes. I was honestly, I have it in my notes here to ask you if you were going to have skipper missiles or not.
No,
because
I hate skipper missiles.
Why would, Jim, come on, why would anyone do that? Besides the people who made Wing Commander 3. I mean, those things were horrible.
Yeah, that was Chris Roberts saying, hey guys, watch this. I'm going to frustrate a lot of people.
The number of times I lost a mission because just one of those got through.
Oh, so frustrating. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It was bad enough in TIE Fighter when they're like, you're in a TIE bomber and you have to chase down these freaking missiles. And, you know, it's like bombs floating at your ship. And it's, trying to track those things down.
And TIE bombers aren't very fast and you have to. It's like, oh, God damn you. Why couldn't you give me an interceptor? That would have been so much better. You bastards.
But, yeah, I'm really making this game for me. So if it frustrates me, it's cut.
Yay! No, I like all those things. Those seem like natural progressions to adding as much situational awareness for a space pilot as possible. Like, if something's attacking an important ship, I want to be able to see that clearly. I want to be able to target it quickly, you know?
Yeah, that's always frustrated me in those games.
Like, Free Space 1 and 2 are so far the only ones that have gotten closest to right on that. You know, you add a ship, you know, you have an escort list, and you can see what's attacking it easily, you know? And you could see the shields and everything. It was perfect.
So I have a question again about the AI. Because since we're talking about escorts and things like that. So as a player, I have a wingman, right? And what I can do with the wingman is I say, stick with me or run over there and attack that stuff. And I got your back, right? But as far as the enemy AI goes, do they use wingman tactics at all? Where like one guy... You know, it's like two ships will be associated, and if you get on one of them, then the other one is going to drop in behind you. And it's like those two guys work together kind of thing.
They currently don't do that. We've been thinking about adding – we have wingman and wing leader support for the AI, but we don't actually use it yet because there's nothing else programmed beyond that. So we've been thinking about doing something similar to that. But the wingmen do tend to fly in packs when they're attacking. So the initial attack run on any, like, they're attacking a capital ship or something like that, they're going to come in, and they're going to come in, like, in waves and take that thing out until you break up their group. But as far as them actually covering each other intentionally, that's not in there, but it's something that we're thinking about doing.
Okay, because that would be the behavior that happens with me. If I have a guy on my six, and I called my wingman, you know, hey, come cover me, does the wingman automatically look at who's targeting him and go after that guy? Or what's the wingman's behavior?
As the player, if you have an enemy attacking you and the wingman, and you say, help me out here, the wingman will target the last ship that shot you and scored a hit. So he'll turn around and he'll come out to that last guy that hit you.
Oh, okay. I like that. Now, I'm liking a lot of the things I'm hearing, honestly, man. I mean, I always like to hear when a developer says, I'm making a game for me, but you seriously seem to be making a game for you.
So there is one other thing I want to talk about, and this kind of goes off on the frustrating part, and this is one frustrating thing that I don't want to cut from the game, but we do have combat in asteroid fields.
Oh, no, that's awesome.
Asteroid fields are dense, just as dense as that, and there's combat in those in later missions, and it gets pretty dicey.
No, that's fine. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
And
I
have
that's
video,
awesome.
I have a video on YouTube that actually shows combat in an asteroid field, and it's pretty cool. It's always fun to watch the enemy fighter just lose it on a turn and smash right into an asteroid.
Just like Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not much fun when you suddenly turn around and realize that you're just flying right into an asteroid.
Now, I don't know if I would call that frustrating. I would call that awesome because I have no problem at all with a good old asteroid fight.
I've died a few times in combat, but mostly I'm good enough that I can stay alive in the asteroid fields. And I figure if it's enough skill and less on the luck side, it's something that should stay in the game.
Oh, agreed. No, I like that. Now, I have a question about the AI. So when you're escorting, say, a freighter, and say it's getting attacked, if its shields get to a certain point or if it gets maybe critical hull damage, will it start maybe escaping, like trying to escape, like trying to fly away to a jump point? Will it just stay on course no matter what's happening to it?
You're in space and you're in a big, huge freighter. There's nowhere you can run. It'll try doing evasive maneuvers, but that's also futile. You got to get there in there and protect it.
Yeah, I guess.
Because the jump points are far away. If you're escorting a freighter to the jump point, he's got to continue on to make it the whole way. He's going to keep trying to push towards that destination, but there's not really much he can do if he gets attacked.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I always wondered why they never put at least one gun on most of these freaking freighters.
Well, one gun's not really going to do that much good. I think our freighters do have one gun on there. And, you know, every once in a while you hear one of the freighter gunners give a message saying, hey, I killed one. But that's not very often.
Well, that's cool, though. I like that. That's good. At least give them something.
You give them something so they at least feel good.
Yeah, so at least they feel they have some teeth, you know.
Here's a pointy stick.
You know? Yeah, but on the other hand, if they're not armed, then maybe the enemy won't attack them? Nah.
No, yeah. right.
Maybe if it's the Predators and they don't have a gun, right? Because
what?
Well, yeah, in the movie Predator, if you don't have a gun, they don't kill you.
Wait, what just happened? You both were talking. What just happened?
Oh, go ahead, Andrew.
As I said, if you're sinking supply lines, having no gun, you're still going to get attacked. It's not going to matter.
No, totally.
Yeah, I was saying in the movie Predator, if you didn't have a gun, you wouldn't get attacked. But
really?
That's probably not the guys you're fighting. Yeah, that was the whole reason that the girl lived through the movie was because she never picked up a gun.
I don't even
Predator remember. Only. I don't yeah, you, it only hunts you if you're dangerous. You're not sport if you don't have a weapon.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had to watch those movies again. It's been too long. I don't remember that at all.
You need to go in for remedial Schwarzenegger training.
That and Commando again? And
yes. So, hey, about the mouse control, because I had a problem in the new demo getting the mouse control to work. I set it to it, but it didn't register, so I still had the gamepad. So I was going to experiment with unplugging the gamepad and seeing if that's why it was ignoring the mouse.
So you're saying you set mouse control but had a gamepad plugged in, the mouse control didn't work?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, I'll have to look at that. I usually only play with a mouse if I don't want to plug the gamepad in.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking is going on is it sees the gamepad and prefers it, whether I told it or not.
Yeah, well, a lot of times I play in the debugger, so I skip the launcher altogether, and I want the game to prefer the gamepad if I have it plugged in, so that might just be what's going on there.
Okay, so since I haven't seen the mouse mode, I wanted to ask you about it. Is it such that whenever you move the mouse, you're moving a cursor, and then the ship chases that, or how does your mouse control work?
Yeah, it basically, what you said, you move the cursor and the ship chases it. It's really hard to do mouse control in a space sim or any kind of flight sim type game because your ships can only turn so fast. It's not like a first-person shooter. So it's kind of a matter of moving the mouse a little bit, having the ship move, and then trying to move the mouse in the other direction and line it up. Our mouse does not actually return to center, though, so if you move the mouse to the right, the ship's going to continue turning until you center the mouse yourself. I found that that helps ease the mouse control quite a bit, and after I play a little bit with the mouse, I can actually, you know, play missions and do quite well with it. People both say they like the mouse control, people say they don't like the mouse control, so it's a tough thing.
Yeah, well, I noticed whenever you have an enemy that's within the reticle in the middle of the screen, it gives you a little bit of auto-aim.
Or with the gamepad?
With the gamepad. I didn't know if that was something that carried over in the joystick as well or not. But I like the idea that your lasers are a little bit articulated.
You get so that you don't have to use the mouse.
Okay. Yeah, because that's like a free space kind of game.
Yeah.
Then the lasers would actually shoot dead on the mouse cursor if it was within a certain distance from the center of the screen.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Okay, excellent.
In the original Wing Commander, the laser shot straight forward, but the sprites are pretty big. I think they had, you know, very generous hit detection, because in the original version of Eterium, you know, we first started developing it, we had the laser shoot straight forward, and it was really hard to hit anything. We need to add that little bit of extra stuff to make the game just playable.
Right. And it makes sense that, you know, if you have these advanced fighters in the future, that the guns would be able to articulate a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, just, it makes sense to me. You know, why does everything have to be fixed?
I don't know. If I designed a fighter in the future, my guns would be like all on turrets and they'd never miss. But that would make for a very fun game.
I'm just going to fly straight at the guns basically, check everything.
You'd basically be flying with like a robotic C-Wiz turret up on top of the thing and, you know, just a Gatling gun throwing lead. So, yeah, that's basically that is a challenge in space games, because if you take it too much realistic, then you're either killing each other like far beyond visual range, or it becomes like a sensor game. It's almost like if you did Space Raid, it would be damn near like a submarine game mixed with Missile Command.
Yeah,
because you just get like a bunch of missiles flying at you that you have to shoot down.
When we started on Eterium, we wanted to make it as realistic as possible. You know, the more you think about it, though, the more you realize, wait, space fighters in space isn't really that realistic.
No.
So, you know, we had realistic physics. We had lasers traveling the speed of light, instantly destroying ships, and it just wasn't fun. There's no challenge. So we realized we had to slow our lasers down and slow the ships down to even get any challenge. So, you know, the lasers that shoot out actually shoot slower than a bullet. And that's true in most space sim games, in order to give you that you know, have to lead the target, because with a real laser gun, you wouldn't have to.
Right.
So there's definitely a lot of stuff that is sacrificed to make the game a playable game and to make it fun.
Well, that's good. That's the most important thing here, you know? I mean, realistic space combat games have their place, but you can go too far. Like, oh, I don't know, Frontier, Elite 2.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
A shiver went down my spine. That was the king of the jousting games, because that's how it was played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just like, You'd run at each other at damn near light speed, and he'd be on the screen for like two frames as it went by.
Pew,
so fast.
Pew, then repeat.
Yeah.
Pew, pew, then repeat. It was the most. I mean, I get what they were trying to do, but wow, guys, you got to abstract things a little more seriously.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that I saw in this game was, like, sometimes I would end up in that quick flyby thing with a guy, and we'd get stuck doing that to each other. But other times, I would actually drop in behind somebody, and we'd have a rolling dogfight, which was kind of satisfactory. So it was interesting to see both styles of combat play out, rather than the game just having a preference toward one. Well, it seemed like it just emerged.
On what you're doing as well. So if you keep trying to do strafing runs at him and not varying your approach, you know, he's going to kind of play off what you're doing as well, especially if he thinks he has a chance of winning.
That's awesome. So, how many missions are you planning for the final game?
Well, our Kickstarter, if we get the Kickstarter, we're going to do probably around 70 missions.
Woo.
We already have 35 of them specced out, and you know, the procedural mission generator really helps that out a lot. And we're thinking about adding procedural space stations later on to keep things interesting.
Now, what would that be for? What would the procedural space stations do?
Well, the idea is that as the Revy come into our space, they're kind of making these makeshift outposts that they leave behind.
Oh.
And they're going to have, you know, a bunch of different station parts, and then we'll procedurally attach them all together to create these large space stations that you got to take out. They're not going to have shields or anything, and you kind of just blow them up piece by piece.
Oh, nice.
But that's an idea that we're just throwing around right now if our Kickstarter is successful.
No, that's a good idea. I hope it is, because, you know, I mean, I'm liking everything I'm hearing tonight. And, you know, it would be awesome if we got a good classic space sim. I mean, we got Chris Roberts working on his thing, but that's about as far away from Wing Commander as you can get.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not knocking it, obviously. Star Citizen's probably going to be awesome, but nothing wrong with returning to basics, you know. And all these games are coming out, all these, like, RPGs and action games that are 8-bit, 16-bit, blah, blah, blah. Why not a space sim that harkens back to those days? Why not?
As a small indie developer as well, we need to start, you know, work on something small to get it done. And a Wing Commander like combat game is perfect. You know, it's just a set number of types of missions and stuff. You don't got to worry about all the overhead of open world or trading or anything like that.
Right. It's linear yet still randomized, which I think is a nice mix. You know, and there are no, like, planetary missions or anything, right? It's all in space.
No, I really did not like planetary missions that were in Wing Commander.
No, well, they were crap.
It's trying to take your engine for space, add a little bit of roll to your ship, and then put you on a planet where you
Now, the ground missions in Wing Commander 3 and 4, well, mostly 3, right? I don't think there were any in 4.
I think there were some in 4.
I don't even remember. Maybe I hated them that much.
Yeah. I did not like them, but...
No, they were terrible. I just remember going, what the hell is this? why am I rolling and what is going on? I don't want to crash into the ground. This is strange.
The quickest way to with a small team of cars to fail is to keep adding on features. Like if we suddenly let you fly, then we're gonna have to make, you know, realistic flight simulator physics that's not even in the engine right now, and that's just I want to space sim, and that's what we're making.
No, I like that. It's very reasonable, and that's awesome. So that's one of the reasons we wanted to get you on, because, you know, we love talking to all these indie devs. That's like the best part of this, honestly. That's where a lot of the good stuff is, you know, is the indie scene right now. I know. So because I can never develop a game. Is it like what is it like being an indie developer? Is it exhausting? Is it exhilarating? I know nothing about it.
Well, it is exhausting. You know, it's really, it's a lot of fun when you get a game out there and you get people commenting and saying good things about it, but it can also be very discouraging. So you have people comparing your game to other games that you feel are not even in the same league or something, like trying to compare Ethereum to Star Citizen. No, there's no way you can compare the two.
Are people actually doing that?
I've had a few people say, post messages around saying, oh, I'm just going to wait for Star Citizen, and, you know, that's fine. I've had people saying, what's the difference between your game and Star Citizen? Why should I just buy Star Citizen?
God, like, it's not the point, people.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Our Kickstarter is asking for $25,000. I'm pretty sure they asked for millions, and I'm pretty sure they're going to need millions more to make it.
Yeah, they just passed 13. I think they're well on their way to 14 at this point, million. God,
it'll probably be over 25 million by the time they develop that game.
I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, I mean, this is one of the ultimate ways of expressing yourself. It's not just a static piece of art. It's not just a visual medium. You know, this is interactive. And so it just amazes me that all these people are doing this. Yeah. You know?
Well, it's very tiring because, you know, as I said, I worked as a gameplay programmer during the day, and those are long hours. And you come home, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to program. Same thing I do at work, I'm just going to do it for myself now. And it can get really exhausting.
Now, I feel the same way about my own blog, you know, because I work on a lot of writing and stuff at work, what I do. And then I come home and like, I don't want to write right now. So I totally understand. Exactly. I totally understand where you're coming from. But I'm really glad to see that you've stuck with this over the last 5 years. Another space game that was in development for like 5 years just came out, and they were also on XNA. It's Ring Runner. Have you been keeping an eye on that one?
I've heard of it. I'm taking a look at it yet.
It's a lot of fun. It's not a first-person space sim. It's more of a top-down subspacey thing. Mm. But, you know, they were doing it for 5 years. They just got released. They were also on XNA. You know, so some similarities there. You should check it out.
All right.
Jim, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was curious about the enemies whenever they're actually maneuvering. Are you going to implement where you actually see the external thrusters on their ship? Because I find that seeing that, like in the old Wing Commander games, you didn't have that. But now that I've seen that in a few games, it kind of gives me a second of, oh yeah, he's doing this before his ship actually starts to move that way. So it kind of is a dogfight assistant, right? If you're close enough to see his thrusters do something, then you're kind of like reacting with him instead of lagging behind him. So could be interesting.
We thought about doing something like that, but we didn't think that it would really be that big of a deal or that noticeable when you're playing and the ships are flying by so fast. We weren't sure if it was worth the development time to add that. So,
yeah, on a flyby, it's not going to do you anything. But if you're behind him trying to stay on him, it's very valuable. So it would just be an interesting thing.
Yeah, it's something we can consider. We've discussed that kind of thing before.
Mm. Okay, that's pretty much all I had.
I was going to say this is probably a good natural time to wrap this up.
Now, when you get done with this, then you're going to proceed on a TIE Fighter homage, right?
What we're going to work on next, but we're definitely thinking of going into like an engine like Unity or something like that, where we can have cross-platform support. Because a lot of people come to us and say, well, you know, I'm on Linux or I'm on Mac or whatever, and we want to play your game. And, you know, this game's been in development for 5 years on our own engine that we wrote off XNA framework, and it's time for us to, you know, get a real engine and build on that.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep.
Well,
Yeah, other than that, if you can get Space Penguins or or cupcakes, because we could hook you up with the Galactos guys and get you some sweet space cupcake starfighter models.
That'd be a funny crossover.
Yeah, have you seen that? We interviewed them a few weeks ago. It's actually a food fight in space. You fly as a cupcake. The planet that you're fighting around is a giant donut.
It's really great. It's really great. Crazy. You should check it out with all the free time you have. You should check it out.
Oh yeah, that's one other thing that I actually did seriously want to ask you about. Because you were saying that you're currently a game developer, like 9 to 5.
I was a game developer. I've stopped recently to work on Ethereum full time because I really just want to get this game done. I want to concentrate on it. And
congratulations.
Still a lot of progress in it.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
What was your question anyway?
Oh, I was just curious, like previous titles that you had worked on.
I worked on Battle for Middle-earth 2 and Command & Conquer 3, and I worked on several different titles working at Point of View. Most recently, though, I was working in micro gaming and stuff like that. That was just a bunch of demos that had been given out to potential investors, but actually never saw the light of day.
Mm. Battle for Middle Earth 2 was a fantastic, fantastic game.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, I really like that one.
Mad props to you. It's probably one of my favorite RTS games. Seriously, it's fun. I want to revisit it now. Damn it. It's like 6 discs to install. Oh my god, remember that? Discs? like 18 discs or something.
I'm pretty sure we had a DVD version of that.
Well, I don't think that's the version I have. I think I have got like
We had a 6 CD version as well.
I think that's what I have is the 6 CD version. It wasn't as bad as what was Wing Commander 2 like 12 floppy discs or something like that? Or some
no, it wasn't too bad. It was only like 4 or 6.
No, it was more than.
Well, Wing Commander 1 was like 3, I think. That's without the voices.
Right, but Wing Commander 2, I recall just floppy after floppy after floppy.
Oh yeah, well if you bought the voice pack.
Well, of
then,
course you
sure.
Gotta buy the voice pack.
I think I got it on CD whenever it was time for that, but yeah.
Yeah, I think I rebought it on CD after the fact, but I had the original all on the floppies, and I think it was like 9 or 10. Floppies with the voice. Oh my god. Anyway, Andrew, it has been a pleasure talking to you about Ethereum and Wing Commander and a few other things. And I hope that if you do have some free time, you go see Pacific Rim. But I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And Jim, as always, thank you for being an awesome co-host and asking awesome questions, because I'm a little out of it tonight. And and folks, thank you for listening. And if you have any questions, you can contact us at hail@spacegamejunkie.com, or you can leave your comments below. Thanks for listening and have an awesome night.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler.
Sure thing.
Sunshine down. Guys.